Bibles into 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And I hope by tonight, if you are here and you don't feel that you have anything to be thankful for, you'll leave here with a heart full of thankfulness, realizing the goodness that God has bestowed upon you in His blessings and in His loving care for you simply because you are His creation and He cares about you. As Brother Sean brought out this morning, in all of creation, there was nothing done as special as what was done when God created man. He formed him from the dust of the earth, and He personally breathed into him the breath of life when He merely spoke everything else into existence. If you don't have anything else to get happy about tonight and to be thankful about tonight and to worship about tonight and to shout about tonight, you can shout about that because you're special in God's eyes. You're so special that He sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross to suffer what you was deserving of. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 16. The Bible says, rejoice evermore. Amen. Don't that go right along with what Brother Sean preached this morning? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? When you find it hard to be thankful, you've got yourself in a place where your attitude needs to be adjusted. Amen. There's always something, I don't care what's going on, there's always something that you can be thankful for. Amen. You know, some here have been diagnosed with cancer and some have at times been given no hope, but they still find and they still found and they still knew there was a reason to be thankful anyway. I will never forget Miss Ella. Some of y'all never knew Miss Ella, but I will never forget her. When they told her the last time that the cancer had come back, and Sister Joanne said, well, what are you going to do? I was standing back there, and Sister Joanne said, well, Miss Ella, what are you going to do? She said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. She said, I'm going to paint my lips up. I'm going to put my wig on, and I'm going to come to the house of God, and I'm going to worship as long as I can worship. Praise God. She knew that she had something to be thankful for. She knew she had someone worthy of her praise and her worship as long as she was able to give praise and worship in the physical body that was being deteriorated by the cancer that was destroying it, because she knew that the one who had formed this body was the one who was going to take this corruptible body and raise it up again incorruptible one day, and until that time she would be with Him when she left this body. Amen. So I got cancer. What do I got to be thankful about? How about the saving grace of God? Amen. You say, well, I done lost everything I had. What do I got to be thankful for? Praise God, you're an heir and a joint heir with all and for all and of all that heaven has to offer. The Bible says over there in Romans chapter 8 where we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. You know what that means? I'm entitled to what's been prepared in the glory world. I'm entitled to what God has created there, not just for me. He's created it for His own presence. And praise God, I'm entitled to it. Amen. I'm entitled to it. Man, there's nothing like someone dying and everybody waiting to hear the will that's read to find out what you got. Praise God, I don't have to wait to find out what the heir's going to get. I already know. Amen. Amen. I've already been told. I've already had a description given me of what's awaiting me. And praise God, you might not have anything down here to boast in, to brag on, or to claim. But praise God, you've got the riches of the glory world if you know Jesus. Amen. That's something to give. See, the problem is we get our attitude wrong. Amen. And we want everything to be focused on what is temporary, what is temporal, and what's corruptible. But praise God, when we get our attitude switched and we get our affection set on things above, we begin to see things in a different light. Amen. Amen. In the first part of the chapter, in the first few verses, the Apostle Paul says, but of the times, beginning at verse number 1, he said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, my brethren, amen. Who's that? The born again, amen. Who's that? The child of God. Who's that? The heirs and the joint heirs with Jesus. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Praise God. When we start to realize we need to get our attitude changed and we need to get our focus changed and we need to remember who we aren't and who we are, and praise God, we'll have something to get thankful about. Look at what he said in those verses I read for my text tonight. He said, we have a heart of rejoicing. That's a good attitude when you have Jesus in your heart. We have a heart of praying. That's a great attitude when you have Jesus in your heart. He said, we'll have a heart of thankfulness. That's a necessary attitude when we have Jesus in our heart. He said, we'll be spiritually encouraging. That's what we desire. When we have Jesus in our heart, we thirst for the word. When we have Jesus in our heart, we're sure of the word. When we have Jesus in our heart, we have a Christ-like attitude. When we have Jesus in our heart, praise God, we need to get an attitude change if we don't find anything to say thank you, Lord, for. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I may not be the richest fella in the world, but I'm better off than most folks in this world. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I said, well, if you got any change, I'm not talking about dollar bills. I'm not talking about the missionaries' money that I stole this morning. Man, look at that. I forgot. He got talking to Ernie and Dolly back there, and I got to helping him load up, and I forgot to give him his money. It took me about that much to feed that bunch, too, though. I'm telling you. I don't know. We're going to catch up with him later and give it back to him. But I'm not talking about that green stuff. I'm talking about change. I'm talking about pocket change. I'm talking about this little bit of change they give me back from all that money I spent. I got a dime. I think I got another dime in there somewhere. Do you realize, just having that in your pocket tonight, if that's all I had in my pocket, I have more wealth in my hand right there, two dimes, than 98% of the people in the world today. Amen. Amen. You see, we lose sight of how blessed we are. We lose sight of what we got. We lose sight of who we are, and our attitude gets sour, and our attitude gets spiteful. Our attitude gets hateful instead of thankful. We need to get our attitude right, and when we get our attitude right, our thanksgiving will be right. Amen. Not only do we need to have a right attitude, we need to have the right assurance. Amen. There ain't nothing going to make you more thankful than knowing that you know that you know that you know. Amen. You know what makes me thankful? Knowing that my check is going to be deposited in my account every month. At the first of the month, there's going to be some money there. Everybody says, how you like in retirement? I said, it's the best job I ever had. Amen. Can I get a witness? Brother Jim shaking his head, yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, I don't worry about it. It's going to be there. Well, so they say. I just depend on the Lord that it's going to be there. But I just have the assurance that it's going to be there. I don't give it a second thought. I don't think about it again. You know, I go to bed. I'll go to bed the end of this month, and I won't sit there and twiddle my thumbs and fret about it. I have assurance that when I wake up the next day, I get to call my boss and say, an amazing thing happened. At 12:01 a.m. this morning, a large sum of money was deposited in my account. Hope you have a great day. Bye. Amen. Amen. Well, you got to keep in contact with your old, you know, co-workers and stuff. Amen. We got a friend of ours that done that. He does it every month. Amen. Amen. But I don't worry about it. I know there's going to be a check there. I'm assured of that. Amen. Just like I'm assured that if a crazed gunman would come in here like happened in the church just a couple of weeks ago there in Texas, and somebody didn't drop him before he got on through the doors. Amen. And he was to shoot me if somebody hadn't already dropped him before he got that far. Amen. Miss Joanne, you only got to shoot him once. Everybody thinks it's going to be Calvin or Adam or somebody's going to jump up. You're going to see Miss Joanne jump up. She's going to whip around. Boom. I can see it now. Amen. Amen. But you know what? But you know what? If that was to happen, I have complete assurance. Brother Dan Snyder, he wouldn't wear a necktie. Because he said he was a car dealer, and he had a guy got in a car with him, and a guy robbed him. He took his tie, and he pulled it up, and he used it to try to strangle him with. And he quit wearing a necktie. He says, "Man, it just bothered me, Pastor." He said, "I know." I said, "Well, you really don't need to worry about it." He said, "Well, I know that." He said, "But I don't want to go too soon, you know." He said, "I don't want to go before my time." I said, "Well, we can't go before my time or our time." He said, "Yeah, but I don't want to facilitate anything to, you know, get to that time." Dr. John R. Rice, he got robbed one time. He gave a fellow a ride, a hitchhiker, and he stopped and picked him up. Hitchhiker got in the car with him, and they was riding down the road, and the man pulled a gun out, and he stuck it in the side. He said, "Do you give me your wallet? I'm going to shoot you." He said, "Young man," he says, "I got news for you." He says, "You can't threaten me with heaven." You know what that is? That's assurance. Amen. Amen. That's assurance. That's peace in knowing. That's confidence in your heart. And you know, some people say, "Well, I just don't know." If you don't know, you need to get to the place where you do know. Amen. If you don't know, you need to come to an altar and make it right so you can have that blessed assurance that the world can't take away. Look on down in the same chapter there in verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Over in the last chapter, in verse number 13, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." You know what the difference is between hope and no hope? His name is Jesus, amen. His confidence, his assurance, his finished work at Calvary is what settles it all. And praise God, apart from Jesus, there is no way to know. There is no way to have this hope and this assurance in your ourselves, but praise God, in him we can have the blessed assurance that we sing about. Amen. Amen. To know him as your Savior is to have assurance. To know him as your all in all. We've obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. He done the dying so we could do the living. Amen. He done the suffering so we can enjoy the pleasures and the joys of heaven that await us. He done the suffering, amen, so we can do the rejoicing and the praising and the glorifying and the thanking, amen. Aren't you glad tonight we can know that we know I have assurance. I'm not worried about what's going to happen. I'm not worried about what's going to transpire in this world. I know that one day I'm going to die, and I don't know how. She wants us to go together. I know that's going to be a painful thing. A car accident's going to be a horrible thing for us both to be able to go together. But praise God, it'll be over in a moment, I hope, and the suffering won't be too long. But you know what awaits after that is worth it all. Amen. Amen. Now that's her wish, it's not mine. That's her dream. Amen. I want to go peacefully in my sleep like my father did. Amen. I don't want to be screaming and hollering like the people that were in the car with him when he was driving. Amen. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the Bible says. And when we stop and think about how foolish we get sometimes and getting all stuck up and all dried up, and we can't thank God for the little things, the simple things, the blessed things, because we're so focused and we're so serious, and we got to be so serious. And you know, Christianity and our walk with Christ has got to be serious. And you can't laugh and you can't have fun and you can't. Why not? Amen. Why not? Amen. This life's going to be over one day. That's right. Amen. And I want people to know that I died as a child of the light. Amen. Amen. I want people to know I died as a child that had joy in my heart and a joyful spirit and a joyful, I hope, a joyful countenance and a joy. I love to make people laugh. But I love to tell people about Jesus and have them come to that saving knowledge. And I love for people to know that they know that they know. I love to be around, you know, Christians that have that assurance in heart, we laugh about dying. We joke about dying. Dying ain't no big deal. You know what the big deal is? Living. Amen. Trying to live Christ-like. And what I think it was in Sunday school this morning, and we was talking about, you know, the old man. We sang that song, "The Old Man's Dead." I heard a young fellow preach a message one time and quit singing that. He says, you know, well, they say the old man's dead. He said, I don't know about you, but he's alive and well in me. Amen. I told folks this morning, you want to talk about a zombie apocalypse. Amen. The old man keeps trying to come back from the dead. Amen. He's supposed to be dead. I've crucified him. I crucified him this morning. Amen. Along about church time, Sunday school time this morning, I had to crucify him again. Amen. Along about preaching time, come along. I had to crucify him one more time again. Along about lunch time when we couldn't get a table big enough for the crowd that we had. And we had to wait for food that wasn't all that good anyway. Praise God. Just to feed the evangelist, I had to crucify that sucker three or four times when they done told me that they had everything ready. Amen. And then we had to rush home and try to. I had to go get something out of a safe at my son's house, and I had to get a couple of my guns out of the safe, and had trouble getting the combination going. I had to crucify that old sucker again. Amen. You talk about a zombie apocalypse. Just come and live in me for a while. Amen. The old man keeps trying to rear himself. The old man keeps trying to raise his head. Amen. The old man keeps trying to steal the joy. The old man keeps still trying to rob me of the assurance. The old man don't want me to have something to be thankful about. The old man wants me to complain about everything. But praise God, I got Jesus in my heart and nothing else matters. Amen. Amen. Now you got the introduction. Seven reasons. Seven reasons that if you gather around your table this Thursday, or if you don't even have a table, seven reasons on a day that's set aside for giving thanks, that you have things to be thankful for. How about peace? Amen. How about peace? That peace that passes understanding, that peace that only comes from Jesus, that peace that only God can give. The psalmist said in Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. And listen, the Lord will bless his people with peace. You know how to have peace in your life in the midst of turmoil? You know how to have peace in your life when everything is going crazy? You know how to have peace in your life when nothing else seems to be working and everything seems to be going against you and your world seems to be tumbling down and it don't seem like peace can be found? Start praising Jesus. Amen. Just start speaking the name of Jesus. Just start praising a little bit. Amen. Pretty soon all the trouble turns into peace because the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Psalm 22 said, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen. They're his people. Amen. You want to get some peace in your heart. You want to get some of the things that are bringing you down out of the way. Just start praising Jesus. Amen. People frustrating you. That's right. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I got people in here. I see you. Hey, look, I read your Facebook. I see your Instagram. Amen. I know who you are outside of the church. Amen. You need to learn. Let me see. Everybody raise your hand. Raise a hand up in there. Get your hand up in there. All of you. Some of the ones that need it the most are holding back. Amen. Now just start waving your hand. And just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See how easy that is? See how that? And then if that don't work, you just, I know. Amen. But when you want to, amen, instead of slapping somebody, amen, how about praising Jesus? Amen. Amen. Man, that frustration, it's just like you're reaching up and touching power. Amen. It's just like you're reaching up and you're getting something that you need. It's just like when you reach up and you praise him, he reaches down and he grabs a hold of you. Amen. You don't have anything else to be thankful for. Thankful for the peace that Jesus gives you in your heart. Thankful for the peace that you can find in the midst of your turmoil. Thank him for the peace that can be found when there's no peace to be found. Because he blesses his people with peace. Amen. How about assurance? We already talked about assurance. But I just want to touch on that one more time. I'm talking about assurance in the introduction. But just to know that you know. Amen. Just to not have any doubts. Not have any fears. Not have any worries about what's happening. You know, Brother Billy and others that work on the railroad, in case you all haven't noticed, the railroad doesn't run through the choicest of neighborhoods and the choicest of places when it goes through cities. Amen. And it's very, very dangerous. Years ago, when I was working, we'd get shot at, over the summer, we'd get shot at 2 or 3 times every summer. We was working up to a junkyard one night, doing night maintenance on equipment, and all we could see was muzzle flashes and hear bullets coming our way and just jump down behind the equipment. So just sat there until the shooting's done. Everybody's a low running. You know, it's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. But you know what? In the midst of all the danger, in the midst of all the uncertainty, you can have assurance in your heart in knowing that if one of those bullets was to hit me, amen, you can have assurance in your heart to know that if you're going down the road and somebody runs a stop sign, somebody runs a red light, Red Toad Road up here in Route 40, is one of the scariest places to cross. I don't care if the red light's green. When I come down there, I pause and I look both ways. My wife got hit there years ago where her sister-in-law was driving. She was in the passenger side and got hit on the passenger side. T-boned. Right there at that place. It's an issue. But you know what? I might go by way of a car accident tonight. I might die of a heart attack. I might die of any number of things. But the thing is that if the Lord tarries his coming, one day I'm going to die. Amen. But that doesn't bother me. And that doesn't have to bother you. It doesn't have to worry you. Look over in 1 John, in our Sunday school we've been studying this. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, he says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Amen. That's all I need. That's assurance. Amen. "He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." He wrote this epistle, he wrote this letter to these believers because they were surrounded by all this opposition. They were surrounded by all this negativity. They were surrounded by all this doubt. And praise God, he says, you can know. You can have assurance. Amen. You know, when you got assurance, you got peace. Amen. Amen. You know, when you got peace, you got Jesus. Amen. It comes hand in hand. And when you got Jesus, you know what else you got to be thankful for? Is the hope that he places in your heart. The psalmist says in Psalm 39:7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." Amen. You know why some people are so frustrated? They're hoping in everything else. They're hoping to win the lottery. Amen. They're hoping things are going to get better tomorrow. They're hoping this is going to change and that's going to change and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. They're hoping for this and they're hoping for that. Praise God, won't you start just hoping in Jesus and pray, Jesus, let your will be done. Amen. Amen. Look at all the worry that just took off of you. Amen. I don't have to worry about what the kids is doing. I don't have to worry about what the grandkids is doing. I don't have to worry about what the thieves are doing that are breaking in and stealing everything. I don't have to worry about what the Muslims are going to do. I don't have to worry about what that bunch down there in Washington is going to do. I don't have to worry about any of it. Amen. Lord, just have I that's my prayer and everything. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be accomplished. Lord, my hope is in you. Amen. And we don't say that just to say that. Y'all know the story of some do, some don't, of our granddaughter when there wasn't much hope for her. And we took her out to surgery that morning. Our prayer wasn't, Lord, heal her. Our prayer wasn't, Lord, do this. My prayer wasn't, Lord, do anything else. My prayer was, Lord, you know what we want. But Lord, let your will be done. And you know what his will was? His will was to take her on to heaven. You know what our hearts have found? His will is a perfect will. Amen. Amen. I believe she's better in heaven. When the surgeon came and said she didn't survive the surgery, all we could say was God's will was done. It's a bitter pill to swallow. Oh, but how blessed it is to know. Amen. How blessed it is to know. How blessed the assurance is to know. How blessed it is to have the assurance to know that my heart's at peace. Because one day I'm going to get to see that little baby again. One day I'm going to get to hold her again. Why? Because I place my hope in Jesus. I place my hope in what he's going to do. I place my hope in what his decisions are and what his desire is for my life. We pray for things and We don't realize that God already knows what we need. The Lord told us to pray and to seek the Lord to provide what we need. And that's just showing that we're aware of where all our provision comes from. You know, everything that we have, money in our pocket, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, the food that we eat, the houses that we live in. You might live in a shack, you might live in a mansion, I don't know. But irregardless of what it is, God has provided for your need. He never said he was going to give us our wants. He said he would supply our needs. And I bet you every one of you here can look around you and say your needs are more than supplied.
Amen.
Amen. You're bountifully, abundantly, overwhelmingly supplied more than what your needs are.
Amen.
See, kids today, they crack me up. They won't eat chicken on a bone. They won't eat chicken on a bone anymore. They've been throwed nuggets so much. Hunks of some kind of processed chicken. You try to give them a chicken leg. Oh, I want a chicken nugget. A bunch of spoiled brats. Amen. We don't want our needs. We want our wants. We've lost sight of what our needs are. Amen. God supplies a chicken. But unless somebody makes some kind of a goo out of it and stamps it into some kind of a shape. I know kids that wouldn't eat chicken nuggets if they didn't. That you can buy them and look like dinosaurs. I know kids that wouldn't eat the chicken nuggets if they wasn't shaped like dinosaurs. Amen. That's how trivial we have become. That's how blatantly unthankful we are for what God has provided for us. Amen. We need to look around and see that God has abundantly supplied more than what we need. He said he would open the windows of heaven. He would pour out blessings upon us that we couldn't contain it. He said him that does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. He gives us more than we could even begin to imagine, begin to record, begin to describe, and yet we don't thank him because it wasn't what we wanted. It wasn't what we thought we should have. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He has given us all things. Listen. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given us all things. He's given us what we need. Amen. And then a whole bunch more. When you sit at your Thanksgiving meal this week, whatever it might be, just be mindful that what you have sitting before you is what God has provided for you. Not only do we have his peace, his assurance, his the hope that he gives, the provision that he supplies, but praise God, we have his presence. Amen. You know, we're not in this alone. We don't have to go through anything here alone. We have our church family and the job of the church, the job of the assembly in the meeting house is twofold. It's one to praise and to worship God collectively, but it's also to edify and to encourage and to strengthen one another. Amen. But there's nothing that encourages. There's nothing that strengthens. There's nothing that helps like when he shows up. and ministers to your heart and ministers to your life from the inside. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Amen. We only want to praise God when we're on the mountain. Amen. And when we're in the valley, we're saying, well, I wish I was on the mountain. We don't live on the mountain. We live in the valley. Amen. We can't flourish and prosper on the mountain. On the top of the mountain, there's nothing but rock. Amen. There's nothing but bad ground. You go to any place in the mountains and you find very few people that live on the mountains. They're trying to find them valleys that's got that fertile soil to live in. Mm-hmm. Amen. Why are we like that? Because we always want more. We always want something else. And we lose sight of the fact that when we have Him, we have everything. Amen. When we have Him, we have it all. There was a rich man that died, and he had amassed a great wealth of paintings, of artwork. And it was known worldwide that he had amassed this great fortune in art. And in his will, it said that everything was to be auctioned. And on the day of the auction, people came. Buyers came, or the representatives came from all over the world, because everybody wanted to get a piece of this art collection. And in the midst of this collection of art, he had a portrait of his son. And his will stipulated that the portrait of his son would be the very first thing that would be auctioned at the auction. And they brought the portrait of the son out, and people kind of, what's this? We want the good stuff. And they said, well, this is the stipulation of the will. Nothing happens until the portrait of the son has been auctioned off. And the auctioneer began calling out the prices and lowering the price and lowering the price and lowering the price, and nobody would buy this portrait of the man's son. And finally, the price got so low that the old chauffeur that had driven the boy around, the old chauffeur that had mentored him some, the old chauffeur that loved his family and loved his son, said, I'm going to buy that. It's a great picture of this young man that I truly love and I truly care for. And he bought this picture for $25. A picture that no doubt had cost his father several thousand dollars to have painted. But it wasn't a Renoir. It wasn't any of these other famous painters' pictures. It was the man's son. The auctioneer's gavel came down. Said, sold. $25. Said, folks, the auction is over. And people got all upset. What do you mean the auction's over? We haven't sold the rest of the paintings. The auctioneer said, you see, the will stipulated that the portrait of the son would be auctioned off first. Whoever got the son got it all. You see, we always want more. And we fail to realize that when we got Jesus, we got it all. Amen. Amen. When we got Jesus, we got everything that heaven had to offer. We got everything that heaven could give us. And when we got His presence with us, when we got His presence in the valley. We got His presence on the mountaintop. We got His presence in the prison. We got His presence when we're free. We got His presence anywhere that we might be. That's what enabled Paul and Silas to sit in the dungeon of an old Philippian jail after being scourged. Now, I want you to know something. This isn't a switching like your mama give you. Some of you young kids I know don't know nothing about that. Amen. This isn't a little bit of corporal punishment. This was punishment that was inflicted to cause the maximum amount of pain and do the maximum amount of danger to discourage some of the behavior that was going on. It literally would rip the skin off of you. I tell you, I've watched a video of a man that was caned in Singapore. I never fully appreciated the extent to what Jesus suffered until I had seen that. Expert at inflicting damage. That dude took that cane and he lashed that man, and then he just waited. Because in a few moments, the swelling began to take place. When he hit him the second, this guy was getting 10 lashes. When he hit him the second time, where the reed, the cane, crossed where the first lash had went, it was already so swelled that it burst wide open and began to bleed. I mean, I'm not talking about just Calvin's seen it. He knows what I'm talking about. I mean, it just peeled wide open. And every subsequent lash was the same way. Paul and Silas were scourged in this manner. They were chained in, made fast in the inner part of the worst part of the dungeon that could be. And you know what they were doing? The Bible says they were singing hymns and praying. Amen? Why is that? Because they had Jesus. They lost some of their dignity, but they had Jesus. Amen? They lost their freedom, but they had Jesus. Amen? They lost a whole lot of things that day, but they had Jesus. And praise God, you know, when you got His presence in your life and you can feel His presence and you know He's there, even in the darkest storms, you know that you have everything. You know that you got something to be thankful for. You know that you got something to praise Him for. How about His unconditional love? God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, we couldn't clean ourselves up. We didn't have to do anything for Him to love us. He loved us. That's why we sing that song, "Just As I Am." He loved us just as we are. Amen. Do you realize that every sinner that dies without Christ in their life and plunges into hell was loved by the God that created hell? Do you realize that as a child of God, when you sin and you hurt God's heart, you hurt God's feelings, He doesn't just throw you away and quit loving you. He loves you enough to forgive you. He loves you enough to clean you up. He loves you enough to say, "We'll start over again." You know anybody that'll love you like that? You know anybody that would love you as many times as you've hurt Jesus, if you hurt them, that they would keep loving you? Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. Nobody will ever love me, and nobody ever did love me like Jesus. And lastly, how about expectation? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. Says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Wow, didn't we just read that back there in Philippians, or in Thessalonians, I mean? For we know that the day of the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. He's coming when nobody's expecting. He's coming when nobody's going to be ready. Nobody thinks it's going to happen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Look at this. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The expectation that you have as a child of God. Man, just look around you. Just look in the last 5 years, the condition that this world has sunk into. In just 5 years. I don't have to go back to when I was a kid. Let's just do it in the last 5 years. Look at the city of Baltimore in just the last 2 years. Amen. How dangerous it's become. Somebody, I've seen somebody, as you go on Route 40, as you go into Baltimore, just as soon as you get down by Moravia Road there, there's that sign that says, Welcome to Baltimore. Or it says Baltimore is all it says. They say welcome, or is it just Baltimore? And it's got the big red Baltimore on it. It just says Baltimore. Somebody went down there and put a sign on it that says, enter at your own risk. Hey, man. Enter at your own risk. We see the world deteriorating. But praise God, Jesus is coming. We see the world falling deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness. But I know Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. I see that if things keep going the way that they're going, I might lose my freedom for preaching the things that I preach. But praise God, Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. You don't believe that? In Canada, there are Baptist preachers that are in prison today just for speaking the things that are true and that the Word of God says to be true. Amen. But they're sitting in prison, and they know Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming. Maybe you say, I don't have anything to be thankful for. If you're a child of God, Jesus is coming. Pastor, you don't understand. My body's racked with pain. Don't worry about it, child of God. Jesus is coming. Pastor, you don't understand. My mind and my spirit is broken and I'm an emotional wreck. Don't worry about it. Jesus is coming. Amen. Pastor, I'm struggling with my flesh. I'm struggling with my Christian walk. Amen. Don't worry about it. Jesus is coming. And one day you won't have to worry about this old flesh anymore. Amen. I tell you, folks, we've lost our shout. We've lost our joy. We've lost the things that make us encourage one another because we've lost sight of the fact that Jesus is coming. Amen. I don't know when, but I know that he's coming. I don't know exactly where in the sky I'll see him, but I know Jesus is coming. I know one day, if I go by way of the grave, or if I go by way of the rapture, I'm going to hear a shout. Yes. Amen. Because Jesus is coming. Yes. We've got so much to be thankful for. But we take so few opportunities to thank God for all that he's done. Because we got our attitude wrong. We got our assurances wrong. We've got our frame of mind wrong. In verse 18 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, we don't even have the right vision of what we should be doing. Won't we start the week off? You know, everybody says this is the weekend. This isn't the weekend. This is the week beginning. This is the first day of the week. Amen. Let's start the week off with a heart of thankfulness, a heart of praise. We stand on our feet tonight.